If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. On this first Sunday of June, 1975, we count it a privilege to greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today is Revival Rally Day at Worth Baptist Church. This begins our summer season of spiritual renewal. Summertime is revival time at Worth Baptist Church. We're looking forward to three wonderful months in June, July, and August. We're looking forward to God blessing in a remarkable way. We're expecting something exciting from the Lord during these days. God has promised that He would hear and answer prayer, and we're looking forward to that during these days. Summertime, revival time, spiritual awakening time, a time when we believe people all over America, as never before, need to turn to God. The greatest need in this hour for America is a revival. I want you to join with us beginning today in a concerted effort of prayer that God will send a revival to America. I read in 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, then will I forgive their sin, then will I heal their land." This is God's promise if we meet God's condition of praying, of confessing our sins, of turning from our wicked ways, of seeking His face. He's promised to bring revival, to hear from heaven, to heal this sick land of ours. And we all know that America is a sick nation, economically, morally, spiritually, educationally, and governmentally. America is a sick land. We need the healing power of God, and we believe that can come during these days. Again, I invite you to join with us in prayer that God would send a revival to our nation and that God would begin that revival right here in the city of Fort Worth. I cannot think of a place where it would be more fitting for revival to break out than the great city of churches and churchmen right here in our own fair city of Fort Worth, Texas. So begin praying today for revival during the days of the summer. If you do not have a church home, if you're looking for a place to worship God, where there's a warm welcome and a spiritual atmosphere, if you're looking for a place where we're expecting and believing God for revival, if you're looking for a place where God is doing things, where there's spiritual excitement and spiritual renewal, we invite you to come and visit Worth Baptist Church today. Our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock. We have a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level. Our textbook is the Bible, and the Word of God will be taught in every classroom throughout the entire Sunday school, not only today, but every Lord's Day, in our Sunday school at 10 o'clock. Our Sunday morning worship hour begins at 11. My message today in the 11 o'clock worship hour is entitled, Old-time religion. I believe that's what we need. You remember the days when God moved and God worked and people honored God? You remember the days of revival? The days when people really experienced something. They experienced the presence and the power of God. We're believing God for that. We're asking God for that. We'd like for you to share this Sunday morning worship hour, old-time religion, here at Worth Baptist Church. And then at 7 o'clock this evening, I continue in the series of messages entitled 1975 in Prophecy. These messages are taken from the book of the Revelation. Tonight my message will be entitled Doomsday from the 20th chapter of the book of the Revelation. Doomsday. I want you to hear that message tonight at 7 o'clock in the continuing series of messages entitled 1975 in Prophecy. And may I say this about those sermons on the series of prophecy? They are all being put on cassette tape. There will be 10 or 12 tapes of them, and we'd be happy for you to write us this week All of these messages can be yours for the small price of $19.95. If you'll just write and ask for the Revelation Tapes, write to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. Just write for the Revelation Tapes, and they'll be sent you as you write for them this week. Now remember, today is Revival Rally Day, beginning our summer season of spiritual renewal here at Worth Baptist Church, where summertime is revival time. We invite you to be a part of the very beginning of it today throughout the services at Worth Baptist Church. We are located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. A family came last Sunday night and said, "Brother Barber, we've listened to you on the radio for many Sundays, and we wanted to come and hear you preach in person. Maybe you've been thinking about doing the same thing." Well, I could think of no better day than for you to visit Worth Baptist Church than today. Revival Rally Day at Worth Baptist Church, 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled Prayer. We shall read from the book of James, chapter 5, at verse 16. But before we read the scripture, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for the privilege of prayer. We thank Thee for the privilege of voicing the gospel. And we pray today that as this message fills the air, many hearts might be blessed, many lives might be transformed, many souls might be saved. This is our prayer, and these are our petitions, and we ask them all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for His sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. In the book of James, chapter 5, at verse 16, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Someone has said the Bible contains 650 prayers. Some are long, some are short, some are public, and others are private. I would have you know today that wherever you are, you can pray right now. It's not the arithmetic of our prayers, how many there are. It's not the rhetoric of our prayers, how eloquent they may be. It's not the geometry of our prayers, how long they may be. It's not the music of our prayers, how sweet our voice may sound. It's not the logic of our prayers. It's not the method of our prayers, how orderly they may be. It's the fervency of spirit and sincerity of soul that counts with God. Listen again to the words of my text. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There are two basic questions about prayer that I want to ask and, by the help of the Holy Spirit, answer in this message entitled Prayer. First, what is prayer? And second, what does prayer do? What is prayer? A simple definition of prayer would be this: communication with God. When we pray, we talk to God in simple, everyday language. Jesus taught His disciples to pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name," in simple, everyday, common language. Some man said, "I wish I could be wound up like a clock every morning and operate like a robot every day." Well, in a measure, this is what we as Christians do. On our knees, we are wound up, and through the day we go following divine instructions. Let me ask you a heart-to-heart question. Have you prayed today? Haven't you discovered that you can move faster on your knees than any other place? Haven't you discovered that you get more done when you pray and ask divine guidance? Haven't you learned that you can make it through the day much easier, having prayed, having sought God's will and God's guidance and God's face D.L. Moody once said, and I quote, "The Christian should begin, continue, and end everything in prayer." The Bible says Daniel prayed 3 times a day. The psalmist said, "Evening, morning, and noon will I pray." Oh, but somebody said, "Preacher, you don't think that I can stop my busy schedule and get on my knees 3 times a day and pray, do you?" Well, if you're too busy to pray, my friends, you are too busy. You would do that if you really felt the need of it, if you really wanted to. Remember this, whatever the posture of your body, the soul can be on its knees. And don't forget, the only time God is deaf is when we are dumb. The only time God doesn't hear is when we don't pray. And the only time God doesn't answer is when we don't ask. I read in Matthew 7:7, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." The remarkable thing about prayer is this. Prayer can be done by anybody, at any time, in any place, and under any circumstance. When I was growing up, we used to sing a song entitled "Royal Telephone." The words go something like this. "Central's never busy, always on the line. You can hear from heaven almost any time. 'Tis a royal service, free for one and all. When you are in trouble, give this royal line a call." All you need to do, my friend, is dial direct to heaven. JER333. That's Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, where God says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." It might surprise you what God would do for your life, for your business, for your home, for your family, for those problems and difficulties and crises that you're undergoing right now, if you'll just talk to the Lord about them, if you would pray and seek God's will and His guidance. What is prayer? Prayer is the key to the morning and the latch that bolts the night. What is prayer? Prayer is a miracle drug that's guaranteed to heal all your spiritual diseases. J. Edgar Hoover once said, and I quote, "Prayer is the most powerful force on the earth." And it is. You see, prayer is like dynamite. Prayer is explosive. The powerhouse is always there. So push the button labeled prayer. When we work, we work. When we pray, God works. Someone has observed, when it's hardest to pray, pray hardest. Another has said, life is fragile, handle with prayer. And how true it is. More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. "Talk about me all you please," someone said, "I'll talk about you on my knees." And how do you like this one? "Praying pews and powerful pulpits make perfect partners." Someone has said, "When at night you cannot sleep, talk to the shepherd. Stop counting sheep." In this world of chaos and confusion, if we rely on organization, we get what organization can do. If we rely on education, we get what education can do. If we rely on programs, we get what programs can do. If we rely on campaigns, we get what campaigns can do. If we rely on gifts and gadgets and gimmicks and giveaways, we get exactly what gifts and gadgets and gimmicks and giveaways can do. But my friend, if we rely on prayer, we get what God can do. And God can do all things. I've made up my mind to stop asking God for little things. Why should I ask God for a nickel when He can give me a dollar? Why should I ask God for a handful when He can give me a bushel? Why should I ask God for a shovelful when He can give me a ton? My friend, God is able to do far above anything that we could ask or think. In the early church, they had no radios, but they were tuned to a divine frequency. They had no television, but they had a clear channel to the throne room in heaven. They had no telephone, but they had an open line to the Lord. They had no cars, but they moved faster on their knees. They had no airplanes in the early church, but they flew all over the world on the wings of prayer. Now, this might sound a bit strange to you, but listen carefully. I somehow wish that during this time of summer, in these days when we're talking about revival for America, and revival for our city, and revival for our churches, and revival for our lives, wouldn't it be a good thing if we could be reduced to the same circumstances that characterized the early church? Perhaps if we were reduced to their level economically, we could reach their level spiritually. Why don't we just turn off these things, the radio as it were, and unplug the TV and take the phone off the hook and lock the cars up in the garage and ground all the planes, and then, my friend, God would have a chance to do something to us and in us and for us and through us and with us. Maybe we could learn how to pray if we weren't so busy with these other things in life. Maybe we could learn to depend on God instead of men and machines. Perhaps we could discover the true meaning of prayer and reach heaven and touch the heart of God. Perhaps we could win souls as we get right with God. God would revolutionize our city. We could have a great spiritual awakening. We could have a genuine revival. We could win our loved ones to Christ. We could get our neighbors saved. We had learned that we could have a talk with Jesus and discover that He's all that we need. This can be done if we pray. Now, the second question, what does prayer do? There are three things that prayer will do. Number one, prayer will bring the power of God into your life. Someone has observed that prayer moves the hand that moves the universe. And my friend, you must believe this. If you don't, your praying is profitless. It's meaningless. It's in vain. If you want God's power in your life, you must learn to pray. You must pray first for God's glory. You must pray according to God's will. You must pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And you must pray in faith, believing. What was the source of power in the early church? Was it personality? No. The apostles were backward, bashful fishermen. Was it money? No, they had no money. Was it education? No, no. Because the Bible says they were unlearned and ignorant men. It was not found in buildings because the only one they had was an upper room. And it certainly was not in influence or prestige or eloquence because these men spent much time in jail and in exile. Where did their power come from? Their power came from prayer. I read in Acts 4, 31 and 32 that the very room where they were assembled did shake with the power of God when they prayed. The poet put it this way, prayer makes the darkest clouds withdraw. Prayer climbs the ladder Jacob saw, gives exercise to faith and love, brings us blessings from above. Restraining prayer, we cease to fight. Prayer makes the Christian's armor bright. And Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. The second thing about prayer is this. Prayer gets rid of the poison in your mind. Well, there's a well-known saying that says prayer changes things. And I like to add, and people. Most of us, though, we don't want to be changed. We're like the little boy who got down on his knees and prayed. Dear Lord, if you can't make me any better, don't worry about it. I'm having a good time as it is. Oh, my friend, we need to learn the true meaning of being changed in prayer, getting the poison out of our minds. Dr. Adrian Taylor, the chief surgeon of the Clifton Springs Clinic in Clifton Springs, New York, said, and I quote, anger, fear, resentment, antagonism, jealousy, hate, and the like are all so important in the consideration of a patient's story that I have come to believe they play an important role in the majority of our surgical cases. A large majority of the surgical cases which come to me should never really have come. Most of these surgical cases began as wrong moral and mental attitudes in the patient. These wrong moral and mental attitudes created functional disturbances in the physical organism, and these in turn became organic or structural diseases. At this point, I get them as a surgeon, but they could have been headed off by the right kind of Christian principles. End of quote. Now, the surgeon is saying, in so many words, many people have surgery. Come to me as a surgeon, the surgeon said, simply because they had wrong moral and mental attitudes in their hearts and in their minds. I'll tell you something today. Prayer will rid your mind of the poison that clutters it in this moment. There's a third thing that prayer will do, and that is this. Prayer will reveal the presence of the unseen forces that are encamped about you. I read in Psalm 34:7, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them." Do you really believe that? Do you believe what God says? Then you must believe that in the world of unseen spirits, the angel of the Lord, the very presence of Christ, is encamped about you. Elisha taught that lesson to his servant one day when they were at war with Syria, when the Syrians had chariots and horses of war, and Elisha and his servant had nothing. Elisha saw by faith what God was going to do. The servant said, "Master, what on earth are we going to do?" And Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open this young man's eyes that he may see." And the young man's eyes of spiritual perception were open, and he saw horses and chariots of fire in the unseen world of spirits. Elisha said, "They that be with us are more than they that be with them." They are there, my friend, for you today. Right around you as a born-again believer, encamped is the presence of the Lord. The angel of the Lord encampeth about them that fear him and delivereth them. I have a footnote to this message on prayer, and I shall be through. Whatever is wrong in your life, just a little talk with Jesus will make it right. As we leave the broadcast in this hour, may I remind you again that today is Revival Rally Day at Worth Baptist Church. We are located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. We would be more than happy to have you share our Sunday School Hour at 10, our Morning Worship Hour at 11, the Old Time Religion, and our 7 o'clock Evening Worship Hour, Doomsday, in the continuing series of messages, 1975 in Prophecy. We trust that you'll come today and visit with us. And until next Lord's Day, at this same time by radio, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And, as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.